In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead, John says. Well, today we have breakfast on the beach with the disciples, the third resurrection appearance. In the newsletter, I mentioned that the 40 days following Easter are vital to our understanding of the disciples' faith in the risen Lord. It is in these 40 days leading up to the ascension that we hear accounts of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances and the power of those events informing the gospel proclaimed by the disciples and the early church, all in these critical first days and months. This vitally important period is unpacked for us following Easter in both the church's Sunday and daily lectionaries. For those Episcopalians who will move from the empty tomb to the manger with no stops in between, well, let's just say they will miss a lot, the very things which could address much confusion and misunderstanding about the resurrection and the purpose of the church, its faith, and its mission. And the reason that this matters so is that you are the church. And it is life-giving to know not only in general, but in particular. To believe not only in general, but to know the details of your faith. Why do we believe in the resurrection? How did the early church begin? What was its mission? What did it proclaim as the gospel? What was the risen Jesus' relationship to all this? And what about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost? With respect to the resurrection, it is in these 40 days that we realize something very important to share. Our resurrection hope is not simply because of an Easter empty tomb that morning. That is but the spark to the fire of the good news. It is these resurrection appearances of the risen Jesus that launched the church, changed forever the lives of these men and women who had first followed him. It is about what is set in motion these 40 days until ascension, and those subsequent days, 10 days to Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Ghost, the great 50 days we call it. Because stuff, essential stuff, happened. So we are on appearance number 3 now in John's Gospel. We've had the first appearance of Jesus behind four closed doors, but Thomas is not there. Then we have the appearance of all the 11, with Thomas invited to place his hand in the wounds, and his faith filled, "My Lord and my God." Now today, by the Sea of Tiberias, a breakfast meeting. It is a profoundly touching and telling scene. Peter and six other disciples go fishing. They go at Peter's request. Why do they go fishing? Hadn't they dropped their nets and followed? Well, as one commentator points out, it seems likely that they've just gone back to what they know, back to making a daily living, from fishers of men to fishers of fish, at least for today, until more comes together. But as we heard, the fishing isn't very good. They work all night and they catch nothing. On the distant shore, a man they do not know to be Jesus calls out these words all failed fishermen hate to hear. "You have no fish, have you?" To which these men give a sharp no. In response, the man tells them on the shore their nets should be cast to the right, and we know what happens next, this massive catch. It is here that the beloved disciple of John's Gospel says to Peter, "It is the Lord," and Peter jumps overboard and rushes to the shore. Meanwhile, the other disciples drag the net full of fish to the beach. Then another amazing thing happens. Jesus says, "Come and have breakfast." as if it were just any other day. And he himself has prepared the meal, just as he himself gave the catch. There is a blessed ordinariness here combined with the miraculous, an everydayness combined with the presence and power of God. What are the disciples and we ourselves to learn? Well, the everyday is no longer the everyday, because the kingdom can come at any moment, because Jesus is always on the shore. When God ceases to surprise us, that may be the moment we have ceased to do business with him, says the great Anglican theologian and bishop N.T. Wright. And when it comes to the kingdom's growth, these disciples in the church are to learn that there's no catching fish without Jesus. That while we, the church, as the disciples, are to cast the net, he is to tell us where and how. We're dependent on the Lord of the harvest for the harvest. We pray for guidance and fruitfulness and live the patterns of life he has taught us. So it is in simple obedience to Jesus and the simplicity of everyday life that our fishing is to be done. We heard today the story of St. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Here is a great persecutor of the church and a Pharisee, converted and turned into an apostle to the Gentiles. It's a stunning and impossible story without the living and risen Lord. Paul is a great example of Bishop Wright's saying, when God ceases to surprise us, that may be the moment we have ceased to do business with him. So we really need to live in expectation of the surprising God to have a true and life-giving faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe, Jesus said to Thomas last Sunday. Yes, indeed. And yet, Jesus has not left us without signs and wonders, from those answered prayers to those coincidences we know we cannot explain away. My maternal grandfather was a pastor. He published a little book late in his life called 70 Years of Miracles. It is a sweet and faithful little book about God in everyday life and miracles in his life, both great and small. All Christians should be able to write such a book. For the risen Jesus, who will make breakfast for his disciples, is surely the same Lord who is with us in the everyday. And this is important because it's a turning point for the disciples. Today's resurrection appearance shows the disciples something they really need to know right now. They were used to being with Jesus daily. He was close by, always at their side. They were disciples, so to speak, with their rabbi in their midst. But what now? Are they orphans? No, their Jesus is on the shore, just out of clear vision, but every bit is present and able to work the power they have known before the resurrection. The same is true for us. Jesus is on the shore waving, "How's it going? Have you any fish?" It accords with Jesus' words right before his ascension. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the ages." I am with you always. This business of fishing for people, this carrying on the good news of the kingdom, the kingdom of God has inaugurated in this second resurrection appearance of John, is something that we should return to. In other words, it's at the second resurrection appearance that John tells us about how this mission is being inaugurated. "Peace be with you," Jesus says to them, and then he says this, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." From now on, it will be their work to perform with Jesus nearby on the shore. The student is now ready to teach. The disciples have become apostles. and the story has not changed for us. Do you and I feel sent? If not, why not? This is a serious question. Over Holy Week, I was struck by a part of the ordination service for a priest that concerns you. We clergy heard it at the cathedral because during Holy Week, the bishop likes us to renew our vows. And here's the part that concerns you. It happens right in the beginning. Right before what is called the examination, the bishop says this: "My brother or sister, the church is the family of God, the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. All baptized people are called to make Christ known as Savior and Lord, and to share in the renewing of his world. All baptized people are called to make Christ known as Savior and Lord, and to share in the renewing of his world. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you," Jesus says to the disciples. Well, over the days to come, we will hear more and more about the content of the kingdom's message. But it begins with this: Jesus is risen, and you have been sent. And you know how many years of miracles you have had. They too are part of the story. Amen.